December 30th is Sonia and I were returning to Virginia from Ohio. We took the route through West Virginia. Now, is anybody here from West Virginia? And you shouldn't be offended by this story. So as we're driving through West Virginia, we're coming by this small church with smoke just billowing out from the church. So we pull in to see what the problem is and see if we can be of any help. And as we get closer to the church, we can see that it's not the church that's on fire, but it's the nativity scene in front of the church. And we're worried, so we get out of our car, and we go up to see what the problem was and if we could be of any help. And the people, there's several people from the church just standing around watching this fire. And I said, can we help you? Is there anything we can do to help put out this flame? They said, no. We intentionally set it on fire. And I said, well, what's the deal with this? Well, why shouldn't we try to put this out? What are you trying to accomplish? They said, well, we're trying to be truthful. I should do it in the West Virginia accent. We're trying to be truthful to the biblical text, is what he told me. And so how is setting this ablaze being truthful to the biblical text? And the man told me, well, Matthew chapter 2 tells it very clearly that the wise men came from afar. I told Ronald I wouldn't use that joke if I couldn't nail the accent. I don't think I quite got it, but the point came across. So that was not true. I saw some Muslim shock in the crowd. That was a joke. But a true story. From my days in high school, freshman Spanish class, we were so mean to that teacher. It's not funny. We were mean to that guy. We used to play prank after prank on my high school Spanish teacher. And like every day, maybe at least once a week, we would do something to this poor guy. And I don't mean to encourage anybody to do these things, so I'm not going to tell you any specifics, Lee, as I see you perking up that bit. I know there are some young minds out here that might take this as me telling you to, or encouraging you to do these things to your professors and teachers. But we used to play pranks on this guy quite often. And every time, whenever we would do these things to him, he would ask the question, all right, who's the wise guy? Who's the wise guy? What does that mean? Who's the wise guy? Is he complimenting us on our ingenuity and our abilities to pull off yet another prank? Is that what he's saying? Is he telling us we are wise? I don't think so. For some reason, I think he was being somewhat sarcastic. Who's the wise guy? But what does it mean to be wise? Now, there are many people that I believe are wise. For instance, my dad. My father is, I don't know, he's got an amazing mind for engineering. He can look at things and just tell you how they work. He fixes all sorts of things around the farm and around the home, does them himself. I don't understand how he even knows how to do these things without any training. Or how about, is my dad wise? Or how about the Reverend Dr. Mark Tyson Nation, who I helped move this past summer? We moved over 5,000 books from one house to another for Mark. Each one of these books he has read at least a part of. Is he a wise person? Or how about my grandfather, who is 87 years old, who has lived through times of wealth and poverty, who has been in love and has had his heart broken? He has seen good times and bad. Is he a wise person? What does it mean to be wise? Now, Webster's Dictionary defines a wise person as one characterized by wisdom, marked by deep understanding, keen discernment, and a capacity for sound judgment. And author Larry Lee writes, wisdom is the God-given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and implement the will of God in that matter. So for our purposes here today, we will define a wise person as one who can discern and follow through on God's will. Remember, Solomon had wisdom. He knew what God wanted and was able to implement God's will. Now, in our scripture for today, we read about wise men who came to Jesus from from the east or from afar. And these people fit our description of what it means to be a wise person quite well, because they are able to discern God's will and follow through with it. And today we'll look at four different lessons that we can learn from these wise men. One, God makes an effort to reach out to people, no matter how far away from them, from Him they might be. Two, God wants us to know Him, not just know about Him. Three, we must worship Christ. And four, we need to continue to be open to God leading, even after we have met Christ. So if you wish to, please follow along with me as I read from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Beginning in verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'You, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is a shepherd to my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for this child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them was the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Our first thing that we can learn from these wise men today is that God never gives up on us, no matter how far away we are from Him. These wise men were quite far away from God spiritually. These wise men are people that really don't know God as we know Him. But God is able to use these people to announce to the world that the King of the Jews has been born. Now Matthew 1 through 2 introduce us to these wise men, or magi as is used in the NIV. Now the word magi is simply the Greek form and is translated in certain other translations as wise men. And as these wise men are entering into Jerusalem, they are following the star, searching for the one who is born, King of the Jews. And it's surprising to me just how wise these people are, how well they are able to discern God's will. Because these wise men are not Jewish people. They are Gentiles. And furthermore, they are not believers in the God that we believe in. Because magi is not the traditional word that is used, that is translated as wise. Magi means more specifically a person who studies the stars, an astrologer, and uses that information to predict the future. So these people are not believers in the God that we believe in. They are pagan Gentile astrologers. And God speaks to these people through the stars. So God sends a sign to these pagan Gentile astrologers, and they decide to search for the young baby Jesus. Now we can see through this that God never gives up on people. Even though these people are not believers in God, God has not given up on them and His desire for them to follow God in their life. Now we learn in the Old Testament that astrology is forbidden by Jewish law. It is one of the things that Yahweh has described to Moses, as being against the law. Astrology is wrong. But yet God is able to work through this sin to lead the Magi to Jesus Christ. God works through their astrology to lead the wise men to know Jesus Christ as their king. So no one is ever too far gone. No one is ever too far away from God to be led back to Him. God wants to lead each and every person back into a relationship with God. And He does this by leading them to Jesus Christ. Now there are many people in the world today who are caught up in things such as astrology. There are many people who are involved with psychic friends and fortune telling and things of that nature. Are these people too far gone? Have they strayed too far away from God for God to be able to redeem them, to bring them back into a relationship with Himself? God still longs for these people. God still longs for a relationship with people who are involved with cultic religion, with pagan idolatry, and with worship of the stars even. And if we are too narrow-minded to believe that God can still use these people, even though that they aren't following Him or actively seeking God, then we are missing a point that Matthew picks up on almost 2,000 years ago. Because Matthew sees that God is able to use these people, use the wise men, even though they are not followers of God. And God is able to speak to them through whatever sin they are indulging themselves in. Now our job as believers in the one true God is to point out to people how God is moving in their life. Because God is moving in everyone's life, God is trying to bring people back into a relationship with Him. But people may not always realize it. People may not always recognize that star in the sky as being the way to lead them to Jesus Christ. Maybe they are worshiping false gods, such as the wise men were. And maybe they don't realize that God is in their life working on them. We as Christians, then, must point out to them, show them the way, and show them how God is leading them back into a relationship with Himself. This brings me to my second point today that I want to discuss of how we can learn from the wise men, and that is that God wants us to know Him, not just know about Him. Now, we often fall into the trap of thinking, if I know my Bible inside and out, then I'll be a good Christian. Being a Christian is not about just knowing the Bible. Yes, knowing God's Word is important, but being a Christian is more than that. Being a Christian means knowing God and His Son, Jesus Christ, personally as your Lord and Savior. Now, we can have a lot of knowledge about God and still fall short of being a Christian. Remember, being a wise person means that you have a discerning heart, that you're able to discern God's will and implement it in your life, to live it out. So just knowing God, knowing who God is not enough. We must know God personally so that we can discern God's will in our lives. Now, the wise men from our story today likely did not have a lot of knowledge about the Jewish faith. They knew a little bit. They knew enough to know that the king of the Jews had been born. And they knew that there would be a king of the Jews. They knew there would be a Messiah. But evidently, they didn't know enough to know that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. They didn't know this. But yet, they had faith that they could find this baby king. They had enough faith that they set out on a long journey. A journey that some people estimate was anywhere between 500 and 1,000 miles. Can you imagine making that journey by foot or by camelback? It was difficult enough driving 400 miles to Ohio a couple weeks ago. Glenn and Kathy went to Pasadena. Can you imagine walking there? So these people had enough faith that they set out and sought this Christ child, even though they didn't know much about Him. Now, in those days, there were people that knew the Scriptures forward and back, inside and out. They knew the Scriptures better than anybody else around them. And these people were referred to as the high priests and the scribes. And in our reading for today, King Herod goes to these people and asks them, where the Christ will be born. In verse 5, they reply to Herod, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Oops. They missed it. These people knew where the Christ would be born. They knew he would be born in Bethlehem. They knew all this about Jesus, about the coming Messiah. But yet they missed his birth. They missed the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These people knew the Scriptures, the Hebrew Bible, inside and out. They likely quoted this to Herod. But they didn't get it. They knew the Scriptures, but yet they were not the ones to seek out Jesus Christ. Again, it was these pagan Gentile astrologers from the East that truly sought after Jesus, that truly sought to know him. And they, to tell you the truth, showed up the people that had all the knowledge in the world. The people that knew the Scriptures best were shown up by pagan Gentile astrologers. Sometimes it's not about what we know, but how we use that knowledge. That is what makes us wise. Now, it has been said several times that the place where pastors go for their education, to learn more about how to pastor, shouldn't be called seminary, but should be called cemetery. Because that's where people go for their spiritual lives to die. Ouch. We go to seminary as future pastors and current pastors to learn about the Bible, to learn who wrote it, when it was written, what the original intention was, where they wrote it from, the form, the genre, whether it's poetry or prose. We look for the historical accounts, the theology, the original audience, the original languages. We learn so much about the Bible. But does that make us wise people? Knowing the Bible gives us knowledge. But that knowledge is only helpful to us if we know Christ personally. Knowing the Bible is very important, but it's useless if we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. James chapter 2 tells us that even the demons know who God is. The most well-known atheist in the world, Richard Dawkins, surely knows the Bible better than any one of us in this room here. But he doesn't know Christ as his Lord and Savior. He doesn't know Christ in the way that we do. Now, I'm glad to tell you that over the years, seminaries have recognized that there is a need for spiritual development in pastors as well. And seminaries such as Eastern Mennonite Seminary do offer what they call formation classes. So don't worry too much about me that I might fall away from the faith. Because every semester we are required to take a formation class which focuses more on our spirituality than on our academics. But these religious leaders in Jerusalem knew so much about the Hebrew Bible that they knew exactly where to find Jesus Christ. But yet they didn't even care enough to follow the wise men so that they might know him personally. Now, the third thing that we need to learn from the wise men this morning is that we need to worship Jesus. In verse 11, we read, "On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. When then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." When the wise men saw the child, they bent down and worshipped him. Now, when we pray, we often bow our heads to pray. But I believe that these wise men did much more than just drop their head when they came to Christ. Now, you've probably all seen at some point in your life the way a Muslim prays to Allah. And it's not a competition between the way we pray. But I believe that we can learn from the pose that they take of how these wise men worship the King Jesus. They would have gotten down on their knees and put their face to the ground to worship this newborn king. Now remember, Jesus still might have been in a stable, which doesn't mean that they had the cleanest floors. Who's to say what they would have been kneeling in or putting their face down into? But they did this because they wanted to worship this newborn king. But their worship was so much more than just bowing down before Jesus. Because they brought gifts to the Lord. They brought gifts to this king. And we did that as well just a few minutes ago when we brought our tithes and offerings before God this morning. And these wise men brought these gifts, which were worth so much more than the gifts that we usually give to one another at Christmas time. Yes, I might have given my dad another tithe for Christmas. But these wise men gave Jesus gifts fit for a king. Gifts that were so appropriate for him and the role that Jesus would play. They brought before him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now these things might seem odd to us. Why would you bring these things to a child? Why would you give a child frankincense? Who even knows what frankincense is? Let alone give it to a newborn child. Gold was given. Because gold represents royalty. Gold is something that only those in prestigious positions would have. And they recognize Jesus as king. Frankincense. Frankincense is a fragrant oil that is used by the priests, the Jewish priests, during times of sacrifices. By giving Jesus frankincense, they were recognizing him as high priest. Myrrh. Myrrh is used to embalm bodies. What a strange gift. Did they recognize that Jesus would die for all of humanity? Did they know right there and then that Jesus was the Savior, sent here to show us the way and die for our sins? These gifts recognize Jesus for who he is, King, High Priest, and Savior. And this was a part of their worship. Now the fourth and final thing that I think we can learn from the wise men this morning is that we need to be open to God's leading even after we have met Jesus Christ. In verse 12 we read, And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another route. These wise men had found Jesus and they worshipped him. They had done what they came to do. But were they done? Or had their life been changed by this experience? Would they go back to worshiping the stars and seeking to know the future by observing the way the constellations move? These wise men were wise because they knew how to discern God's will and to implement that, to live that out in their lives. And after worshiping the Christ, they were served by God in a dream with a vision that told them to not return to Herod. They lived out God's will in that moment because they did not return to Herod. They did not go back to Jerusalem. They went an alternate route. And I would assume that they went an alternate route the rest of their lives. But they no longer worshiped the stars. They no longer were pagan Gentiles. But they were believers in the one true God. Now imagine if they had ignored God. Imagine if they had ignored that dream. What things would look like today. What if they would have worshipped the Christ child and just left and gone back and done as Herod had told them? If they had submitted to the will of the king. What if Herod would have known exactly where to find the baby who was born king of the Jews? And he went and he killed the baby Jesus. It's pretty powerful to think about how following God has impacted this world. Now we can argue as to whether or not the world would still be saved through the death of this baby child, but we would obviously not have all the teachings and the miracles that we have seen throughout the New Testament if baby Jesus had died that day. It's hard for us to even imagine the repercussions of what would have happened if these wise men had not been willing to follow God's will that day. Now, we are all here today for the same three reasons that the wise men originally sought to find Jesus. God has called us. God has called us into a relationship with Himself. And that is one reason why we are here. Because we want to know God. Not just know about Him. We are here to worship God. We have been called. We have listened to that call and sought to know God. And we are here today to worship. And the wise men set a good example for us as we begin to think about going from this place, as we return into our workplace next week, or into our normal lives, back into our homes. The wise men set a great example for us, because we too must learn to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We must continue to be open to the same gentle nudging that first led us to know God in the first place. We must be open to the continued leading of the Holy Spirit. Imagine what the world would look like if the wise men would have stopped after number three, if they had just worshipped Jesus and left. The world would be so much different, and there's a good chance that none of us would be here today worshiping. How might the world be different if they hadn't listened to God? It's really quite scary. And how might the world be different if we, too, choose not to follow God's will? If we don't listen to that gentle nudging by the Holy Spirit? And how might the world be different if we choose to follow God? Let us be wise men and wise women. Let us discern God's will in our lives. And let's not stop there. Let's live it out. Let's live out God's will in 2007 and from every day here on out. Will you please join me for a word of prayer? Gracious and loving God, You have called us and we have answered. Lord, You have shown us Your way and we want to know You personally. Father, help us to worship You for who You are, to worship Your Son, and to live in the Spirit. And Lord, may we live out our lives each day in a way that is pleasing unto You. May we put Your will into action in our lives. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.